Everybody.
Hello, friends.
Welcome in to another episode of Spiritual Philosophy Chatter with the Joneses. I'm Danny Jones.
And I am Samantha Jones.
And here we are, episode 82.
82.
What is our topic?
This is Spirit Readings with Samantha Jones.
Cool. Glad we're doing this again.
Yes, this was your idea. It was a very good idea.
Yeah, and I think it's helpful for people. So
yeah, definitely. I like to do this kind of as a way of giving back to, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. Nice. Yeah. Well, before we hop into that one, you got anything from last week?
I do. I have an email that I would like to read. I don't know if I read this one to you yet. I never really remember which ones I read to you and which ones I don't. So maybe this is new to you.
Cool.
It says, "Dear Samantha, I hope you, Danny, and Marina are all doing well. I wanted to say that I am a great fan of your podcast, and it feels like I am joining the conversation while listening to you. It feels good to know that there are people out there on the other side of the planet. I live in Japan, feeling the things I feel and thinking the things I think. I am 30 years old, and you guys make me wonder how my consciousness would be at my 40s. I am truly looking forward to it. Thank you so much for putting yourselves out there and sharing your experiences and wisdom with people. I enjoy every single episode of the podcast, and I'm recommending it to other like-minded people."
That's wonderful.
Thank you, Rabia.
Thank you very much.
She's so sweet. I've talked to her before. Very sweet. Isn't that cool that she's in Japan?
Wow.
She found us all the way over there. See, we have listeners all over the world.
That's so cool.
That's so cool.
That's very, very cool.
Yeah. So I wanted to say thank you and share that email. We love that there's others out there that are, you know, we're not experts at this. We have only been really doing this and practicing this spirituality for a couple years.
Yeah.
So it's really new to us. So you guys are really growing with us.
Yeah, I feel like we're kind of little kids in the sense of we're inquisitive.
Mm-hmm.
We're searching for truth and answers.
Yeah.
And, you know, are these definitive answers for everybody? Probably not.
Yeah.
But that's okay. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's my movie.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder sometimes, like she said, that she's 30 and wonders what she's going to be like when she's 40.
Yeah.
We've talked about this, that I wonder if I know as much now and connect as well as I do now, and it's only like 2.5 years into this, what's it going to be like 10 years, 20 years? It's pretty wild.
And how old did she say she was?
She's 30.
30.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, yeah, I have no doubt that your consciousness is going to be much greater. It grows every day for us.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Rabia.
Yes, thank you.
All right.
What else do I have? Okay, so I did a couple of things in the last couple of weeks that I wanted to share. One of them is that I was on a podcast called Hurry, the Kids Are Asleep. And they interviewed me about being a pet psychic. It was a cute interview. It's only like 15 minutes long. And so if you want to have a listen, they're on all the major podcast networks, you know, Apple and all those. It's episode 5, so they're new to podcasting.
Cool.
But they did really well. It's a husband and wife team, and they play off of each other well. And they actually asked me if I thought that Carol Baskin killed her husband. So if you're curious how I answered that, listen to the podcast.
Cool. Now, were they the ones that were connected to the shout out?
No, that was what I was getting to next.
Uh-huh. Gotcha.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and then the other thing is that there's a shout out in a magazine called Voyager LA. I've been in Voyager LA before for pet sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And then they messaged me and said that they wanted to spotlight me. And I was like, well, I'm not doing that anymore, but here's what I'm doing. And they were still really interested in it. And so that came out last week, Voyager LA. You can go to their website and look for the spotlight.
Right.
And yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah.
It was very cool.
Yeah. I like doing these things and, you know, getting word out there that there's, you know, help out there like me.
Sure.
Because that's what their whole shout-out thing is about, people that try and help the community.
Right.
And really, that's what I'm trying to do. That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Very good.
that is, yeah, that's all I have from last week.
Yeah, I definitely suggest check it out. It was a cool article.
I'll share it. You know what? I'm going to share both of those things on the Facebook page, on our Facebook page. So have a look there.
Do it.
Yeah, I will.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So is that it for your recap?
That's it.
All right. Well, how about episode 82?
All right.
Spirit Readings with Samantha Jones.
Let's do it. Let's do it. One of the things that I like about doing these readings for people on the show is that it allows people to see the process that I use and to see that it's not scary. A lot of people they're scared what I'm going to tell them. Am I going to tell them bad things? Are their relatives going to be angry? Are their animals going to, you know, show me things that are bad? Whatever they're worried about, I want to do these kinds of episodes to put those preconceived notions away.
Right.
Because that's not at all how I do my readings.
Right. I think it's very important. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I want to make people comfortable with this. So, if you don't know a lot about my readings, or if you've never had a reading from me, I do pretty much everything through text or messenger. One of the reasons that I do that is because I'm very emotional. And sometimes these spirit connections make me cry. So that is probably going to happen. It's the connection is just so strong that you can't really help it, you know? And then you get into people's stories and you start seeing what's going on, and it's just something that happens. So
it's emotional. It's an empath.
It's very emotional work. So, I'm going to start with, we're going to do both people and animal spirits. These are just people and animals that have passed away. No living animals. The first one that I want to do, his name is Carlton.
All right.
And this is for Patricia. This is her father-in-law, Carlton, who passed on November 3rd at 97 years old.
Wow.
She said 97 years young. Yeah. So the reason that I was so attracted to this one first is because he reminds me of my grandfather.
Yeah, he does look like Bob.
Yeah, and so I have such an attraction to that because my grandfather was a good man.
Yeah.
So, and this was a good man too. So let's talk to him and see what he has to say for Patricia. So what I do, so you guys know if you've never heard my readings, is the first thing I do is I connect to the spirit. And that takes me a minute, so there's kind of a little bit of silence there while I get that connection. And then after I get that connection, I just give whatever comes through me.
Right.
It's kind of like channeling.
Is there something that happens when you say, when I get that connection, as soon as I get that connection, can you explain to the listeners what it is you feel, you hear, you think when you get that particular soul connection?
It's different for each one, but it's usually either they start talking or there's a vision, something that starts to play out like a movie.
Mm-hmm.
It can come in a lot of different ways, but it's like a click that we connect. It's like answering the telephone and waiting for the person to answer it, but it's a longer distance, so it takes a minute to do that. But it's like a click. Whatever the first way that they show me, like if he comes in with pictures first, that's usually the main way that he's going to communicate with me the whole time. So that's, you know, kind of what I'm looking for.
Okay,
so let's talk to Carlton. Okay, so what I do is I give validation that I'm talking to the spirit, which is hard to do when you don't have a person here to validate for you.
Right.
So we're just going to say that what I'm feeling is accurate and go with it. The first thing that he mentions is that he grew up in a very different time than we're in right now. And he's watching a lot of what's going on and he's a little bit shocked by it. And that in his time they had similar problems, but it was different. They were more respectful. You know, he's talking about the values and morals and how high his values and morals were is what he's pointing out, is that it's hard to imagine that, there's people like this out there that can be really, really mean or, insensitive, because he's very much an empath himself.
Yeah.
very, he was connected, I think, on this level, maybe didn't even know it when he was alive. And then the older he got, I feel like he became more and more connected to the source, and he got it. It may have been more religious based mm-hmm. than like this, where he went towards religion instead of like what we do. Mm-hmm. But he loved that connection, and it helped him grow into the man that he became. Mm-hmm. And he's very glad that he had that connection, because when he got to the other side, it was easier for him to transition mm-hmm. because he already had kind of a grasp on what was going to happen when he got there. That's pretty cool.
So he's a little more enlightened here.
He was. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised to hear that, because that generation, well, I guess his generation, yeah, they would be, because that was before you got all the weird things. They were into Ouija boards back then. Mm-hmm. They weren't weird about connecting to the other side.
It wasn't a bad thing.
Yeah, so that doesn't really surprise me.
Can he share with you how he passed?
He had a lot of little issues, is what I feel, through his life. I feel like there was a point where he battled some form of cancer and overcame it. I want to say that was some kind of either intestines or lower region type of cancer, but overcame it. And really, I don't think that there's a particular cause of death here, except that he was really old and things just started shutting down. They may have put on his death certificate that it was a heart attack. But I think it's just that his body just shut down. It was just time for him to go. Hmm. You know, that's an old age, 97.
Right.
I feel like he did have some memory issues, but he knew the people around him. He knew how much they loved him, and so he always felt comfortable with their care. He was never worried about that somebody was going to hurt him or anything. He was very comfortable in those the time that he was losing his memory. And I think he points that out for a couple of reasons, because I'm not sure if it's Alzheimer's or dementia or just, you know, as you get to be that age, you probably lose your memory anyways. I mean, 40 or something, and I'm already losing my memory, so I'm assuming that you have problems. I think he wants us to know that if we do experience these problems in our life, that we do know what's going on. That even though we don't remember, we do know what's going on. So if you have a loved one that has Alzheimer's or dementia, and you know, you visit them and they seem like they're not there, they are there, and they do know that you're there. They do know.
Good.
Yeah, he really wanted to point that out.
That's comforting.
So, yeah. So I think that was a part of the message for Patricia and her husband, is that he must have been caregivers in one form or of another to him, because he is pointing out that he knows everything that you did for him and that he appreciates it.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and he says to give his love to his son, and he's proud of both of you. He says that you, Patricia in particular, and I've watched this, so I understand what he's saying. She's let go of a lot of the things that she used to hold on to, and she's growing spiritually. And he loves that, and he wants you to continue to grow spiritually.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
Thanks for sharing, Patricia.
Yeah, thanks, Patricia.
Let the floodgates
yeah.
open.
Yeah. No, I just get like the little, you know, yeah.
That's a good one.
Okay. So, let's see. Let's move on to an animal. How about that?
Good.
Let's see what we got. Because they both are really hard for me, I'm not going to lie. But sometimes I think it's because of the connection with the people that this, like, everything has an energy level. And when a human spirit comes in, it's a lot stronger of an energy, if that makes sense. Animals are much more subdued, and so I think I have a tendency to get teary-eyed a lot in a different way over the spirits of people.
Well, they're definitely different energies.
Yeah.
So their strength, yeah. I mean, you know, you can see that in our intelligence, so
yeah.
That presence alone.
Yes. Okay, so this is for Ashley, and Ashley is I met Ashley on Shine when I used to work for Shine.
All right.
And then she followed me to Kasamba, and then she found me on Facebook. Well, she found me on the internet, and so then she found me on Facebook. So we've built kind of a relationship, and, you know.
Right. She must really like you to track you down?
I've had a few that have done that. You know, I signed strict things when I worked for those companies that I couldn't contact people, and so I didn't. But what they do, if they find me, what am I can't help that.
Right.
So, you know. So, yeah, and recently, this was just last week. I don't even think it's been a week. Her dog, Spanky, passed away. She had to put him down. Oh, and we haven't done a reading on him since he passed. I did one... maybe like a month or so before she decided to put him to sleep, and I let her know that he was ready. And we looked at all, you know, the health concerns and how they were progressing, and so she knew that we were getting to be time.
Yeah.
But she hasn't really felt ready to have the reading yet for him. Yesterday she was like, I want to do it, but I think I'm too emotional yet. And I said, no, just wait, because I'll do it on the show, and then you can listen to it there when you're ready. So we're going to talk to Spanky then.
Cool.
And Spanky is a pug.
Oh, I love pugs.
Yeah. Okay. So does he know how much he was loved and how much we miss him and didn't want him to suffer? So Spanky is showing me being on the other side, and he's showing me himself... Not when he was a puppy, but I want to say like 3 or so, like in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
And he's running in circles, which is, he probably did that. And that's why he's showing me. These right. are the things that they show usually is right. what they did, you know, when they were alive. He's showing that because he wants you to know how happy he is and how he is out of pain. He had a lot of like physical ailments, and those are all gone now. He's won. His body is pure of all of the problems, and he is happy. He is showing me that one of his favorite times with you and your family is when you would all just sit around and watch TV. He just liked to sit there with everybody. There was something about having everybody collectively in the room that was one of his most peaceful times.
That's cool.
Yeah. Let's see. He was very spoiled. So she has a neighbor whose dog she takes out a lot on hikes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he liked to do things like that when he was younger. But as he got older, he's like, I'm so thankful that she was able to take the other dog because I didn't want to go anymore. Oh. You know, he's so little, these little dogs, and especially the pugs, because they have the smushed in noses. It's really hard for them to have that kind of exercise.
Yeah.
So he's like, breathing. I'm so thankful that, you know, he liked to be lazy. Towards the end of his life, I can't remember how long he lived. He was pretty old, though, I think. I feel like he was pretty old. So probably like the last 5 years or so of his life, his favorite thing to do was just sleep, you know, which a lot of dogs are like that. But I could see with a pug, they're more chill. But he does know that how much he was loved. He knows that you guys would have done anything for him, and that if they're... was something that could have cured all of his health problems and made him live longer, that you absolutely would have done anything you could have for him. Unfortunately, that's not how it works, and it was his time to go. And you gave him an absolutely wonderful life. He didn't need anything. His needs were completely met. So there, you did an absolutely wonderful job with him. He is pointing out that he does plan to come back, not right away. Probably like a year or two. And I think he's going to come back as a larger dog. And I wouldn't be surprised. It's either a boxer or a Rottweiler. Now, the neighbor's dog is a Rottweiler. So because of that, I'm going to go with boxer. But it could be either. But either way, that's what he plans to come back at. As a bigger dog, because he says he can do more as a bigger dog. Right. Like, he could
funny
enjoy these hikes
he picked
more stuff.
The smushter face again.
Isn't
though.
That funny? Yeah. Why is that?
Boxers probably don't have nearly the problems that
they
pugs.
Have different, but yeah, right. I don't know. The way that they breed these dogs, you know, it's getting worse and worse, but yeah, no. That is funny that he would choose another dog like that. But
he wants a different experience.
Yeah, he wants to be a larger dog.
Yeah.
You know, I
Zuma will probably come back as a teacup poodle.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a larger dog person. I love big dogs.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, he thinks that he will be happy in a big dog body. So
cool.
That's his plan. Until then, he says that he loves his family. He loves all of you. He's telling me there's one of your girls that he had a particularly strong bond to. I think it was the older one, but whichever one it was, just let her know that he pointed out that he knew that she went the extra mile to make him comfortable and happy in his life.
Oh, that's sweet.
And they had a strong bond. So
cool.
So there's Spanky.
Well, thanks, hey. Ashley.
Yeah, thanks,
Sorry
Ashley.
Sorry about losing Spanky, but...
Yeah, it sucks, man.
It does suck. Yeah. I don't look forward to either one of these guys going, but...
No, as he's going in the background.
You'll hear him now and then.
Yeah, no, it's very hard. You know, they're such pure souls, and they live such a short life. And that's hard for us to grasp, that how they could live such short lives.
Yeah.
But they are such unique souls, and I try to think of it this way, that they live a short life, but they live a lot of life in that short time. Mm. Like, they don't know really necessarily, I don't think, what they're going to deal with when they come here.
Yeah, you told me that a long time ago, and it made a lot of sense. It was like their energies, they can't incarnate. This part, you know, is what I've read. You know, like in Dolores' books, basically that they're a different energy.
Yes.
So a dog's not going to come back as a human, and a human's not going to come back as a dog.
Yeah.
But they can come back, like we said, as a larger dog, smaller dog.
Right.
Whatever.
I think they can go between breeds, but...
Yeah, I still think that they're, on a spiritual level, they're more connected, and they understand that much greater than humans do at first, at least. I think that's just built into them. Mm-hmm. But that point about, and I totally forgot what we were talking about.
That's okay. You were talking about how the souls, they can't fit in, like the person can't fit into the animal can't fit into the person.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure where you were going with it. So if you remember, we can come back to it. Okay. Okay, let's do another human. And this one I know is going to be emotional for me. Because,
I remembered.
Go for it.
Basically, what you had said to me was that they, by incarnating and their own choice to go into another body of an animal, you know, dog or whatever, they take a greater chance.
Yeah.
Because they don't know where they're going to end up.
Right.
Not that a human really knows either, but we have a capacity they don't when we step into this world that we can eventually speak.
Right.
You know, and express ourselves is where they can't.
Well, a lot of times, I mean, really most of the time, they reincarnate back to their family members. So what they deal with is whatever you put them through.
Right.
And I don't believe that they really know that. Like you said, coming into this life, it's just they're dealt whatever they're dealt. And so...
Well, what if coming from an abusive family and then they reincarnate to the same family?
No, not necessarily. Yeah.
I feel like
they can choose
their
that,
lesson has kind of been learned there, whatever it was to be learned.
Right. No, what I mean more like, for example, is when I die and I come back, it's very possible that I'll have the same dog souls.
Right.
Because just because it's a different life doesn't mean that it's, you know, so if
they're still in your family.
Right. So you get those same souls back to you. I believe that does happen here as well. Like, I wonder sometimes if one of my dogs, Tahoe, was reincarnated into one of these dogs. Now, they both show signs that they could be, it could be either one. Mm. I think it might be Zuma more, but Tahoe and I had unresolved issues because I had to move out to California and I had to leave him behind with my other dog, Sequoia, and I left them for a year and a half. And then he got cancer, and my ex-husband said he couldn't handle it, and he asked me to come pick them up. He died a few months later. So there's that time of guilt that I have with him, and there's lessons that needed to be learned. And one of the things that I've always felt guilty for with Tahoe was leaving him, period. Mm-hmm. He was my dog. He was like Sabbath. Could you imagine me leaving Sabbath?
Right.
So I think whether Sabbath is Tahoe or not, one of my lessons here is that I will never be without him, you know?
Yeah, I kind of feel like maybe he could possibly be greater than Zuma, the chance, just because he's so attached to you.
He's just as attached to me as Tahoe was, and he has a lot of the same mannerisms, but they're also both Labradors, but... I don't know, there's something about Zuma, too, but they can also do, like, and I don't know if we've talked about this before, when an animal passes, one of the ways that they show us signs that they are around is they can do things, they can manipulate the other animals. So, for example, Sequoia, our chocolate lab that passed a few years back, she can go into either one of these dogs and make them have behaviors that she had. Mm-hmm. They still do it.
Yeah.
So that's one way that they show us that they're around. So that could also be another thing, is that they're not those soul Tahoe. Neither one is Tahoe, but I believe that they are.
Yeah.
And I believe that they come back to us so that we can learn those lessons that maybe we did wrong. There's a lot of people that I hear from that have guilt over, like, childhood animals. You know, that they didn't feel that their dog was taken care of, or their parents made them get rid of an animal or whatever. Most of the time, those animals come back to you, and you're given the second chance to make it right.
Right.
And that's what we have to do, is learn from those mistakes and make them right.
Right. I agree.
Yes. Okay, back to the readings. Okay, so this one's a mom, which is hard for me because I lost my mom. But yeah. I think it's important. This is our friend Natasha, and Natasha doesn't comment much. I actually didn't even know that she was in the discussion group. But her mother passed in a long while.
Yeah, I think it's been a while.
Yeah. But I see her every year, she posts to her like I do to my mom. So I think that this is good for her. So good. Let's talk to, what is her mom's name? Carrie is her mom's name. I can't read my own writing.
Okay.
Okay. Let's talk to Carrie. Okay, what Natasha asked was, the picture that she put is of her mom and uncle, so her uncle may come through as well. Okay, she said, she died suddenly when I was 17. Wondering if she has any advice for me as a mom. Okay. So, first, your mom does... give you, she tries to help you. She tries, you hear her. You don't realize that it's her, but you do hear her. And I understand what she's saying, because I get this too, where all of a sudden you just know the answer to something and you're like, why was that so simple? And I never thought about that. When you have those moments, that's your mom. That's your mom giving you the motherly advice that she couldn't give you because she's not here.
Right.
But she's trying to give you from over there, trying to help you raise your kids. She has, it's not, okay, so spirits have different kinds of feelings that we do, so it's hard for me to find a word for this. It's not that she has regrets, it's that she wishes that things could have gone a different way, and that you wouldn't have been without a mother so much of your life, because that was not fair to you, and that has kind of, it does. It damages you. It really does. Sure. And I can imagine at 17, that has to be even harder.
Yeah. I'd say Natasha's done pretty well for facing adversity in her life, for sure.
You know, there's something that happens when a mother passes. It's like you have this different connection to somebody that is right there on your team, playing for you all the time.
Yeah.
So when your mother passes, things start to change, usually. Sometimes it's with, I mean, it happens with dads too. Like, both of my parents are there, and so I feel like between everybody that I have there, I have a greater connection, you know, combined. But my mom was the first one that was there, and it was definitely the strongest out of all of them. Yeah. And I feel this from a lot of the mothers that I talk to that have passed, that there is this bond there.
Sure.
And so they are there for their kids. And it doesn't matter for those of you listening, if you were estranged from your mother when she passed, It doesn't matter. It's totally, all of those things are gone. Mm-hmm. It's why I can talk about how my mom was when she was alive, and I can still have the relationship that I have with her when she's passed.
Right.
Because they become our guardians right. when they get there, and it's a very, very strong connection. So getting back to Carrie, because she couldn't be here for you in that way physically, she has always been there for you in the other ways. You are very right when you say that Natasha has gone very far in her life. She's an amazing woman. She seems to... Yeah. I'm not saying, Natasha, that you get everything that you wanted, everything you want, or that your life is easy by any means. But I think you can see where your mother has
right.
come in to play here and how she's helped you to find certain things in your life, to put you on that right path, to show right. you, hey, this is the way that you're supposed to go.
Right.
And she'll always do that, and she will do that for your kids as well. But her biggest message to you, besides I love you and that you're a beautiful woman and a wonderful mom. Sorry.
It's okay.
And if you let her, she's going to make sure that your life is exactly what you want, basically. I mean, it's hard to get everything you want. We don't, you know. But at the same time, that's her love, and that's what she's doing for you. So just watch for those signs from her. You do a great job of doing that when those times that she clicks in there, you know, listen to those. It's hard sometimes. We don't want to always listen to those, you know, when the parent clicks in.
Mm.
But we need to.
Yeah.
I give an example here. My mom had been telling us to clean the dryer vent for how long had she been telling us? A year and a half.
Yeah.
It's a mom message, you know, clean the dryer vent, clean, do it, clean it. And we kept putting it off and kept putting it off. And then we bought a new dryer, and it got, this was a divine intervention as well. When they came out to hook it up, they refused to hook it up because they said the gas line was, that it needed to be secured to the wall better or something, right? It sounded like it wasn't really, I don't know. It sounded like they were making excuses. Anyways, we had to call a plumber. They came out and they hooked it up right, but they did not hook up the line right. The, what do you call it? The dryer vent thing.
Tubing. Hose,
right. Yeah, the tubing. So it was like divine intervention that that guy didn't just hook it up the way that it was and that we saw what was going on because the lint that had accumulated in that dryer.
It was scary.
It was scary. Yeah. We're so lucky. So lucky. But we get these messages sometimes and we don't know where they're coming from. And so the point is when you get them, especially when they're like, they're repeat, not like obsessive, but maybe, you know, one day you hear it and then a week later you hear the same thing out of nowhere. Those are the types of messages that I think she's talking about.
Right.
Which is like what happened here.
Yeah.
You have to listen to those. They're very, very important.
Right.
There's a reason why you hear them.
Right.
So she wants you to know that those, when you have those things, that those are her as well.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well,
thanks, Natasha, for sharing that.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me do that for you.
What up, Double J?
Yeah. Natasha and John J are a very sweet couple with two adorable kids. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm very glad that she let me do that for her.
That's cool.
So,
very good.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to another animal. Okay, I'm going to do a kind of lighthearted one, kind of, because this is okay, so we have this friend Gabe, and we talk about Gabe sometimes on the show.
Oh, Gabriel.
And I try to pick different people for readings all the time, like, I want everybody to have their turn, kind of,
mm-hmm.
but Gabe always has this way of sucking me in, because he's just funny, I guess.
He's Gabe.
I don't know. He's Gabe. So, he posts a picture of his dog, and this is an adorable dog, look, dressed in a pirate's costume.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. So, he says, Theodore Einstein III Esquire, as you hear the Dane in the background,
yeah.
Sorry, a.k.a. Theo the dog. Miss you, my buddy, my boy. The question, where did you bury the money? Okay. So, obviously, we know that the dog didn't bury the money anywhere, but let's find out what he has to say.
All right, Theodore.
Yep.
Esquire.
Okay, so, I know it might sound weird when I say that dogs have a sense of humor, but sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. They're like people. They have very unique personalities. And it's not that, you know, they're mean if they don't have a sense of humor, but it is very possible for a dog to just be dry and not think something right. is funny. And that's what this dog was like, that, you know, Gabe is. He's just, he's funny. He's a funny guy. And the dog never thought that his actions were funny. And he would just kind of look at him like, is this really the way you want this to go? You know, like, I thought we were bros, man.
Gabe, your dog yeah. didn't think you were funny.
There's an insult. No, I'm joking. It's not that he didn't find him funny, I guess. It's just that he didn't have the same kind of sense of humor. He didn't see why the things that he thought were so funny were so funny. Normal dog stuff, like what we make fun of that they do, you know, smelling dogs' butts, the gross stuff.
Right.
You know, just didn't find the humor in it, is what he's telling me. I think I've read this dog before now, because I feel like this is a dog that you had before Kim, his wife, or at least for a part of it, because there's definitely this like bro relationship, going on here. He has not reincarnated yet. He will. But neither one of the dogs that you have right now are him. Probably in a few more years.
He wants you to work on your comedy a little bit first.
Sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He says he'll come back with a better sense of humor in the future.
Gabe better have better jokes.
Right, if you can have better jokes. See, I said lighthearted. I had to do it. I had to make us laugh. So, anyways, he's a good dog. He loves you very much, and he's still very much around you. And I feel like, you know, with dogs, they do different things than people do. They don't have the same kind of energy, so they don't really mess with the electricity or anything like that. They usually try and make us feel them, or they show like themselves in another animal or whatever. But I do feel like Theo here, he likes to play practical jokes because that's what Gabe liked.
Right.
And so now he's giving it back to him is kind of what I feel like.
Right.
One of them is if you just trip over nothing, that's Theo. I don't know why he finds it funny. I mean, okay, I do.
He liked to see people trip over nothing?
No, now he does.
Oh.
I think it's his way of giving back. You know why? Because that's probably something that used to happen, would be my guess. And so if you trip and fall, or, you know, not to hurt yourself, he's not trying to hurt you.
Right.
But it's there's something there, and you'll have to tell us. Like, maybe he got tripped over a lot, or, right. you know, this is what makes it hard when the person's not here to validate right. and tell me what exactly it is that I'm feeling. But there's something there with the tripping that I think mm-hmm. was something in life that is now kind of a joke. Oh, okay. And so when he trips or something, that's funny. Theo. Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious.
That is funny. So anyways, thanks for the laugh, Gabe.
Thanks,
and
Gabe.
Theo, you're a funny dog. Theo, even though you said you don't have a sense of humor.
Remember the Chihuahua you said that came in speaking Spanish?
Yeah.
That's funny.
That was a good one. Yeah, I
mean, just the fact that, I guess it would make sense if they grew up in a home listening to Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they learned.
Right.
You know, certain words and things, but.
Well, Anna, it was that dog's way, because the dog was lost. What happened was I was on Facebook, and there's Simi Valley Missing Pets, and I do this often, that if they find an animal that's lost, or there's one that's gone missing, that I'll try and just communicate just to let the animal know that they're fine or whatever. So this dog was found by somebody and they were looking for the owners. So I tuned into him and, you know, told them, hey, they're looking for your owners. Can you give me any information or whatever? And it started coming in Spanish. And the reason that happened, I think, was to tell me that, first of all, that his family was Latino and that they spoke Spanish. So that narrows it down to some degree.
Yeah, it's a great first giveaway.
Mm-hmm, really. Exactly. But it was funny because I had never had a dog talk to me in a different language before. So it was that dog's way of definitely showing, here's a sign of, you know, a way to help find my owner.
Right.
So, but yeah, it was kind of cool.
Very cool.
I don't know hablo. I don't. Sorry, I wish I spoke other languages. Yeah. I tried to learn Dutch, and that didn't go well. Anyways, so
funny.
Yeah. Let's go on to the next one. How much time do we have?
We're about 20 minutes. So.
Okay. All right. So the next one is human. And this is... Okay, this is for Stacy. And she says, this is my grandfather, Robert. He died after we were involved in a car accident. Always wondered what advice he would have for me. Stacy is one of my former pet sitting clients.
Cool.
Yeah. So I don't think I've ever read for her. So I, like I said, I try to pick people that...
She said this was her grandfather?
Grandfather, yeah.
Robert?
Yeah. He died in a car accident. Okay, so he's talking about this accident, and he's talking about, this is really hard for, and I'm not just saying for Stacy, because he was older, so she probably understands, you know, he was towards the end of his life, and and this was just going to be coming one way or another at some point. We all, I believe, to some extent, have the option to choose how we go. And he just wanted to go quick and not have some long drawn out disease or, you know, be in his 90s and wondering when is it going to come? When is it going to come this way? He didn't know. It just hit.
Right.
And that doesn't, that seems, I don't want to say selfish, but that, that was his wish. That's what he wanted. And unfortunately, when things like that happen, it can send a family and, you know, other things into a tailspin. And of course, we're talking about an accident that affected other people. So it is hard to look at things this way. So I'm surprised that this is what he came in with. But he, forever, whatever reason, he wants her to know that. And maybe that's because that's something that she struggles with, is why did it happen? You know, it sounds like she was in the car with him, which is what I'm getting. That's a horrible thing to see and experience.
Yeah.
You know, and he's definitely very sorry for that, for the trauma that he put the family through for that. There was something good that came out of it, though, and I'll be interested to hear back from you and what it was, because I'm not sure if this was just an accident or if there was a drunk driver, but there was something that came out of this that was positive, like somebody in the family was an advocate for something. Maybe it was wearing a seatbelt. But anyways, you'll probably know. So let me know, because I'd like to know.
Cool.
But there was a positive that's already come out of this. To answer your question, let's see. First of all, let me tell you a couple of things about him so that you know that I am connected to him. He took life seriously, but not too seriously. He had a good sense of humor. It could be a little bit too dry for people sometimes. Sometimes he thought he was being funny, and maybe it wasn't, you know, exactly funny, but he thought he was funny. So I get that, you know, if you laugh at your own
jokes.
I
believe that about myself.
Yeah. I tell you that often, don't I? Yeah, you think you're funny. He was a hard worker. He wanted to take care of his family. That was like the number one thing, was to provide for his family and to watch his grandkids grow up and to have that family type dynamic. It was important.
Right.
He couldn't imagine not having it and not being like the head of the house and, you know, being the man that went to work and that, oh, this is my beautiful family. It was very, took pride in them for sure. Okay. So let's see, what was your question? Always wonder what advice he would have for me. Let's see what advice he has for you. Okay. I haven't gotten yet exactly what he's talking about, but there's something that's a possibility of change in your life. Work environment. Maybe one of you got a her husband is, he was one of the coaches for the Rams. And then he moves around, not like a, you know, with the players, like more in the back, I think, like fitness and stuff. So he moves around a lot. And so I'm wondering if this is him getting another transfer, one that might require you to move, to actually physically move. And he says, go for it.
Nice.
Go, whatever it is, whatever this thing is that you can't decide, or maybe this hasn't even happened yet and it will. When you get there and, you know, you're like, I don't know what to do in this situation. There's this. He says, just go for it. So.
Right.
That's his advice to you.
Sounds like good advice, Krantz. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. That was good.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you,
Stacy.
And Robert for and coming Robert. Through. We appreciate that. Okay. Now, let's do another animal here. Okay, this is for Jen. Okay. We lost our 19-year-old boy, Jackson, back in January and are still grieving. Recently, we adopted a rescue pup and wondering if Jackson's energy is still around us and how he is reacting to the new addition to our family. Sometimes we feel guilty for getting another animal, but the house just felt so empty. Thank you. Looking forward to this show. So one reason that I picked this is because this is something that I hear often from people, that they feel guilty getting another animal.
Right.
And I just want everybody to know that they don't feel this way. This is a human emotion, right. This jealousy in that way, mm-hmm. especially when you're talking about animals that have crossed over, people that have crossed over, they don't have that jealousy at right. all. That's very earthbound mm-hmm. energy. So no, they want us to get a new pet. A lot of times they come back, you yeah. know,
if you don't accept them, how right. are you going to get them back?
Exactly. So, don't ever feel guilty about getting another pet ever, that your other pet, the past, does not want you to feel that way ever.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay. So, and we all have felt that. I mean, we've all probably felt that way, especially animal lovers. I have, mm-hmm. you know, but you're not replacing, you're just, you know, living on.
That's part of this experience, is to experience that love with an animal.
Mm-hmm. There's a reason why they live the short lives that they do. There's a lot of reasons.
Right.
I didn't used to understand. Now I do. But one of them is because they are here to teach us lessons.
Yeah.
They're here to teach us compassion
mm-hmm.
and a whole bunch of things.
Yeah.
So if they just stayed with us their whole lives, then we wouldn't get a chance to reset almost.
Right.
Undo the, you know, whatever our mistakes were, we don't make them again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
what I think. If you only had one animal in your life, maybe you wouldn't appreciate having an animal as much.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have to let one go
yeah.
in your lifetime before you go, that's hard. And it puts a lot of appreciation for that soul.
Yeah.
Just
absolutely.
Like you losing your mom.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder if there's, I'm sure there are people that have never in their entire lives had a pet, ever.
Right.
That's, to me, very odd.
It
because
is.
There is something, there's a lot to be learned from an animal.
Yeah.
You know, and the more that you have, the more you learn.
Yeah.
So, anyways, let's get back to Jackson. So, Jackson is very happy that you got the rescue pup, so please don't think that. He is not the reincarnated into the rescue pup. He will return as another cat. He wants to stay there for a while. Probably because he lived here for 19 years, and I can't say I blame him. So he is going to stay there for a while. We're never alone, ever. But he is showing me, in particular, that he's not alone. And he's showing me, the first thing he showed me was a dog. It's a larger sized dog. Sometimes I just see large dogs as like golden retriever, kind of like a silhouette almost. Mm. And that's what I'm seeing, is like a dog on the larger side. And then there's a man next to the dog, and he's patting the dog. So I don't know if this was his or, you know, again, this is one of those things that it would be nice to be able to say, who is this person, and
right.
get confirmation.
Right.
But you'll probably know and be able to tell me who the man patting the dog is. But usually something like this is either them showing you this was your dog, and so we're showing you that we're taking care of the dog, or this was my dog and I'm showing you that he's with me. So,
right.
But Jackson is with these two souls. These are the first souls that he shows me, but he is with a lot more. He enjoys being there because he can just be lazy. Okay.
Animals have it good on the other side.
Yeah. I'm like, wait, you couldn't just be lazy here? They're like,
we don't talk, so we don't got to learn all that.
Right? Like, okay, I get it. Like, in 19 years, he had to deal with other animals and kids and other people and lots of things, and now he can just be lazy. I understand, yeah. But that's pretty funny. I can't say I've heard a cat say that before. Usually they show me, like, chasing butterflies or something, and this cat's just like, I'm just going to lay here until I'm ready to reincarnate. So whatever, you know? He likes the sun and to hang out in the sun.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, anyways, he loves you very much, loves his family, and he does look forward to coming back. I think I already said this, that he's going to come back as another cat. If I didn't, that's the plan. I'm feeling like he'll be the same colors. Like, he's black and white right now, but he has unusual markings.
Yeah.
And so what I'm feeling is that it will be the same kind of things. Like, he'll have these unusual markings, but it won't be black and white. It'll be like maybe a tabby, like a orange tabby or
calico.
Yeah, something like that. But distinctive pattern and markings, so you'll know it's him for sure.
That's cool.
Yeah. So there we go.
Very nice. For
Jackson. Yeah.
Thanks, Jen.
Yes. Thank you, Jen. Appreciate it. Let's see how much time we got here.
10 minutes.
10 minutes. Okay.
But we can always go over.
Yes, we can. Okay, so I want to do this goat because I don't get to talk to goats often, and I want to know what goats think and what, you know, goes through their head. I think the only time I've ever talked to a goat was when I did goat yoga, and those were little tiny baby goats, so it's different. So that's why I chose this one. This is Patricia. She has already had a reading, but like I said, I've never read a goat like this, so I want to do this. She said, "This is my one in a million goat, Rudy. We'll never find another one like him. Is he here in some other form?" Okay. I like to talk to different types of animals because they act very differently. I love to talk to horses because they are very wise and they can share a lot of knowledge and they're very, direct. This goat, on the other hand. So, this was a very animated. He was very, very animated. I see him trying to compete with other animals. So, he's like a full-size goat, right? And or I don't know, but he's bigger. And what I see is him, like, with other goats that are smaller than him or other animals and him trying to mimic and recreate what they're doing, but he can't do it because he has a big body. I could imagine that, like with our Great Dane trying to, mimic like a chihuahua or something. but he tried. He wanted to fit in. He kind of reminds me of like the black sheep, so to speak. Like he was the outcast kind of, but only with the other animals, not with you. Like you saw this specialness in him and he appreciates that. He's showing me, so I've mentioned before how sometimes they're different. With this goat, I'm seeing pictures, and he's showing me chewing on things that he should not have chewed on. he liked to eat. I think that's what he's trying to get through. He liked to eat. I wonder if, because he's a little bit more difficult to talk to than like a horse, and I hate to say this, but a more intelligent creature. So can you hear the difference? Like when I have to translate this, that it takes me a little bit longer to put it together for the level of intelligence.
Right.
So that, I think that's one reason I wanted to read him was to see exactly what kind of intelligence level they have, you know? They're smart. I mean, I'm not saying that he's a stupid creature by any means. He was very smart. He knew exactly what was going on. But he still had these moments of, like, these derp moments. Like, what? You know? Like, just silly, silly goat guy.
Goats seem like that's part of their energy.
What's that?
Just the, you know, oh, bounce the around the derp. And then all of a sudden, like, what?
This guy, like, I wouldn't picture him bouncing like what I see him because his legs are so long. It's hard to imagine that in person. I guess tall. Because I'm used to seeing like the little ones that they have at Goat Yoga and they bounce.
Right.
But this guy's big, but he's showing me that too. All four of his feet coming off the ground at the same time.
Right.
I think he has reincarnated. Currently. I don't know what kind of animals she has, but it's possible he's back there. I'll have to ask her and see if we can figure out if that's possible, because it's another farm animal. I don't think it's another goat. Hold on, let's see if I can figure out. It's not a goat, but a smaller, like a sheep? Are they? I don't know. It's a smaller farm animal, smaller than this goat. So you'll have to tell me if you have somebody that fits that.
Hmm. I'm
trying to think of what else might be on a farm.
Pig?
No, it's not a pig.
No.
A similar kind of shape, but I don't know. Anyways, maybe she'll know. But so asking if he ever is ever going to come back to you, I think that he may already have, in my honest opinion. You may see things in this animal that the goat, that Rudy did. Like I said, this could either go one of two ways. It could be the reincarnation, or it could be that they're just, you know, taking over the body. But right. In this case, it definitely could be that this is the reincarnation. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to a goat.
Yeah.
Because it's really cool to see how their intelligence is and what they think and what they pick up on and right. what is important in their life. And from talking to him, the only two things he really showed me that were important were playing and food. Those were like his two major things. And so then we have to think, like, why is an animal like this on our planet? Why is it given to us? Well, goats produce milk, you know, and we get milk from them. So they are here to provide for us,
right.
you know? So the fact that this creature lives to eat and then to find activity to get rid of the energy makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Because they're put here for a reason.
That's their job.
Yep. I mean, they're great companions. Don't get me wrong, if you have the patience for a creature like this.
Right.
Yeah. It's great.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
thanks.
Yeah, thanks. I enjoyed that. Rudy.
Well, I'm going to lay one on you.
Okay.
Since we're about
Okay,
four
that's
minutes.
What it was, because I kept hearing that somebody was either going to come through for
it's
you
weird.
Or there was
okay.
going to be something.
Yeah, this is weird that you said, it's cool that you said that, because I was sitting here fidgeting.
I wrote it.
What?
I wrote your name to remind me.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I just had to put
That's
that.
Cool.
Yeah. So anyways, you're
sitting often when I, you know, in this room, we have some like lights up here, like little fairy lights around the room. And then I have this like traffic light. And sometimes when we hit certain topics, they will like on the traffic light, just one of the lights will blink or one part of the string of lights.
It
will
happens
blink.
A lot.
This didn't happen today.
No.
But, and that's usually kind of a sign for me, like they're trying to get my attention because I'm facing the traffic light where we're sitting right now.
Right.
But I was sitting in here I was hearing ringing in my left ear.
Oh, okay.
And I thought I was losing some weird signal, so I'm jiggling my cable here, going, why is my headphone going out in the left ear? So I said to myself, if you really want me to do this, the idea that popped in my head, then ring in my ear again.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened to me a second time, right towards the end of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what the heck is going on, you know?
And no joke, my left ear is ringing right now.
So for people that don't know, this is, it sounds like a ringing, but it's really like a way that the other side is sort of tuning a frequency, trying to get you to tune to that frequency.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way to get your attention to change your frequency.
Yes, get to
we
get
need
your attention.
To talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you said something at the beginning of this that this is an unusual format for you, because normally you would have a person on the other line giving you confirmation for the information that you're giving them from the other side. We don't have that.
Right.
So we have to wait for feedback, and that's okay.
Right.
But I'm sitting here.
Yes.
And something said to me, okay, I don't know why, but my grandparents said, you need to show Samantha the picture that you put on Facebook of us with your dad in Vietnam.
Okay.
And they need to say something. Okay. I feel like, I don't know if it's them or somebody, but
it's funny because when I kept hearing this, and you may even be able to hear it in a couple of the readings that I did, that I kept hearing your name and that there was going to be somebody for me to read. And I kept trying to guess who it was, and I kept guessing wrong. And so this makes perfect sense, because I don't think we've ever talked to them before.
I'm not sure if they were it. The thought popped in my head. And
God, your grandma looks so much like Mert.
The ear thing started, so I was like, okay, it must be them.
Yeah. So I don't know how much we've talked about them in the past. You know, my memory is not super great to begin with.
Well, you never met them.
No, I never met them, but right. But you had a relationship with them before they passed.
I didn't know my grandfather really well. He passed when I was maybe 2 or 3, maybe 4 at the oldest, but I have memories of him.
Okay. He stands out to me right now more than she does. What's his name?
Howard. He went by the nickname Boots.
He's encouraging. And he's encouraging for a couple of reasons. First of all, he feels like, well, he wasn't here long enough in your life to try and encourage you here. But he feels like with your dad that he didn't give him the proper encouragement to do what he was supposed to do with his life.
Right.
That he laid his own feelings and biased, and you know, this picture is of your dad going away to military.
He's either going or coming back.
Yeah, going or coming back.
Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. And he look how proud Grandpa is.
Yeah.
But Grandpa, he's very proud of your dad, and that's not what he's saying. But he's not proud of himself for kind of pushing your dad in that direction. I mean, it was, I'm assuming there was a draft at that time. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But he was very proud of him that he was going off to support his country and to, you know, and now he looks at it differently. He sees the damage that it did, and to not just your dad, but to so many people, and how war is so wrong. But, you know, you see it from a different, different perspective when you're here as compared to there. So he's sending the encouragement because he didn't get to give that to not just you, but also your dad in the way that he should have. So he, like, the first thing that happened when I connected to him was, it was like, you go, Danny boy, you go, you know, like, just keep going. You're doing it. Like, the smile is exactly what I saw.
Yeah.
So very much trying to give you the encouragement. Let's talk to...
I feel like I look like him. It's weird.
Let's see.
Just with, like, the glass. I don't have he doesn't have the beard.
Right. Yeah, I could
see. The thin hair and the glasses, and I see so much resemblance in the three of us. It blows my mind.
Yeah, your grandma looks so much like your aunt.
Oh, yes.
That one gets me.
She does. My aunt resembles her a lot.
She resembles her not just in looks, but in personality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way that your grandmother is carrying herself is very reminiscent of Mert, and the way that she carries herself. Mert learned a lot from her mother.
Right.
There was definitely a bond there between those two that was different than with the boys. You know, it was like their own special little relationship, which is the way I suppose it should be. Yeah.
It was.
She always knew that she could count on Mert. We're going to have to let her listen to this.
True.
That she could count on Mert to be there and to take care of her in a way that she couldn't with her boys.
Mm-hmm.
She just knew, even at this age, that she would be okay for her life because her daughter would always take care of her.
Yeah. Mert was dedicated to her mom.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've heard her talk about her and stuff, but I never really realized that. So Grandma is talking about Marina and saying to just keep going with how you're dealing with that, that you're on the right track, that you heard things today that you came to me and talked to me about.
Yeah.
This is where you got it from. Yeah. And Grandma. So. Oh, the tears.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh. Yeah.
That was heavy.
I couldn't ignore that one. Sorry.
No, I'm glad you did it, and I'm glad that we were both feeling the same thing, because I really was like, who's it going to be? You know, I always do that. I anticipate what they're going to throw at me because they'll tell me, like, you know, we're going to do this, but only give me, like, something like that. Like, you're going to do a reading for Danny. Well, who's it going to be? Until you get to that point. And so it's frustrating. It's like, and I'm always wrong. I never guess.
Well, I was sitting here, you know, well, first when you said that, that I normally would get confirmation, but because of what we're doing, the way we're doing it here on the show, it's impossible. So I immediately saw that flash of that photograph. Then my left ear started ringing. So I said, okay, I'm not going to bug her right now. I'll wait till the end. Mm-hmm. Hopefully she won't be too emotional and tired at the end. I said, but if you really, really want me to do this, make the ringing happen again. Uh-huh. And then so the second time, I almost forgot that I said that. So when it happened again, I was like, what? Is this cable going out? What is going on with these headphones? And then I went, oh, duh, you asked for it.
That's why I wrote it down, because I knew that if I didn't, that we would stop recording and I would forget. And so the fact that you were feeling the same thing, it's these are how these things work. And the longer that we do this, the more these kinds of things happen to us. And so it's really confirmation for us, too, of what's going on around us.
It is. And I even had, I even heard, you may not, it may not be for you. And I felt like it was for my dad.
Yeah, too. And for Mert, I think that.
And Marina, but I just heard, this may not be for you.
Right.
But people need to talk to you.
Right.
Or to people.
For sure. Yeah. So, definitely.
I'm glad you did. That was good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, well, enough of the tears.
Ooh, yeah, I'm tired now.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I love those, and we'll try to do those, you know, occasionally here and there on the show so you guys can get an idea of just exactly what Samantha does and does so well.
Yeah, we need to do one with live animals. I love the animal episodes. Those are usually my favorite because when we do, not just the readings, but like when we do the readings, then I can talk about animals and like care and what they want. And that's, you know, a big thing for me is I want people to know what these animals need and want. So that's definitely, I want to do another one of those soon too. Okay. You know, cause these are heavy, man. Like I'm sure that there are some other people that are crying that didn't even get a reading today and they're crying. You know, this is hard. It brings in your emotions and
it's hard, but it feels good at the same time.
Yeah, it does.
So
it's
not a bad hard.
No,
you know,
the living animals are usually much more lighthearted though. So we'll have to do one of those soon.
In my experience is they don't really want to share a bunch of negative.
No,
trying to point out the good.
And that's an important thing that you pointed out, because I do get a lot of people, like I said at the beginning, that are scared of getting a reading because they're afraid of what is going to be said. And as you can see, I don't filter, okay? I don't have to filter. They give me things, and they give them to me in a respectful way. And sometimes those things are hard for us to hear, but I will never deliver to somebody a message like, you're going to die tomorrow.
Right.
That's not what's going to happen.
No.
Usually our relatives want us to hear a gentle, you know, I love you, or you're going the right way, or don't give up, or whatever it is. They want to give us encouragement, not bad news.
Right.
That's a stigma, I think,
and they don't
psychics.
Have that right.
No, no.
Even in their divinity, they don't have that right to get in the middle and start forewarning you of things that you're going to try to avoid. It just...
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
No.
They'll just skip over that and let that play out how it's gonna, but they want to focus on what's good.
Yes, absolutely. They sure do. So I hope that we showed that today.
Yeah. So. Cool. Well, before we say goodbye, you want to share your page?
Yes. So my website, where you can find everything, is SamanthaJonesPsychicMedium.com. And if you would like to send us a message or order some merch, because we have merch now, you can message me at spiritualjoneses@gmail.com.
Cool.
You, sir.
Yes, for my art, djonesartcollection.com for the web, at djonesartcollection for Facebook and Instagram. And then for the art, I will be posting that Eddie Van Halen I did that I shared on Facebook. That'll be on my page. And then I'm also sharing a brand new one I haven't put up yet. So that'll be up there probably within the next couple days.
Yay.
And for print orders, whatever size you like. And then for the music, gypsybrown.com for the web, at Gypsy Brown Music for Instagram, and at Gypsy Brown Band for Facebook. We're still working on that, but it's coming along. We're getting there. Check it out when it's there, but you can go start following the page now and see. We kind of post a lot of pictures in our process and as we're recording the record and mixing it, so you can kind of get us play by play.
Yeah.
So that's all I got.
Awesome.
Cool. Well, we hope everybody got something out of this.
That we do.
I did.
Me too.
Thanks, babe.
You're welcome.
I love you. And we hope everybody has a great week.
That we do.
Until next week, peace and love.